नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो धीरये नाशप्राय सुभद्रेषु नित्यं सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 58, text number 13 and 14, entitled Krishna Marries Five Princes.
Ekada ratamaruya
Jayo
Vanaradvajam
Jayo Vanaradvajam
Gandivam Danur Adhaya
Gandivam Danur Adhaya
Unau Chakshaya Sayakau
Unau Chakshaya Sayakau
Sakkam Krishnena Sannadho
Sakkam Krishnena Sannadho
Vihartum Vipinam Mahat
Vihartum Vipinam Mahat
Bahu Vyala Mrighakirnam
Bahu Vyala Mrighakirnam
Vishat Paraviraha
Vishat Paraviraha.
Ekada,
once,
Ratam,
his chariot,
Aruya,
mounting,
Vijaya,
Arjuna,
Vanara, the monkey Hanuman,
Dvajam,
on whose flag,
Gandivam,
named Gandiva,
Danu,
his bow,
Adhaya,
taking up,
Tunau,
his two quivers,
Cha,
and
Akshaya,
inexhaustible,
Sayako,
whose arrows,
Sakam,
together. Krishnena, with Lord Krishna. Sannada,
wearing armor.
Vihartum,
to sport.
Vipinam, a forest.
Mahat,
large.
Bahu,
with many.
Vyala
Vimigga, Vyala Mrigha, beasts of prey. Akirnam,
filled.
Pravishat,
entered.
Para,
enemy.
Veera,
of heroes.
Ha,
the killer.
One translation purported by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Once Arjuna, the slayer of powerful enemies, donned his armor, mounted his chariot, flying the flag of Hanuman, took up his bow and his two inexhaustible quivers, and went to sport with Lord Krishna in a large forest filled with fierce animals. Perfect. This incident must have taken place after the burning of the Kanda forest. Since Arjuna was now using the Gandiva bow and other weapons he had acquired during that incident. I'll continue reading a couple of more verses. With his arrows, Arjuna shot tigers, boars, and buffaloes in that forest, along with gurus, sarabhas, gavayas, rhinoceros, black deer, rabbits, and porcupines. Gavayan, for word meaning, means a wild ox-like mammal, and saraban means a species of deer, and mahishan obviously is wild buffaloes. Rurun is a species of antelope, and sukaran is boar. And then text 16. A crew of servants carried to King Yudhisthira the slain animals fit to be offered in sacrifice on some special occasions. Then, feeling thirsty and tired, Arjuna went to the bank of Yamuna. As Srila Prabhupada often explained, the Kshatriyas or warriors would hunt in the forest for several purposes: to practice their fighting skills, to control the population of ferocious beasts who are a threat to human beings, and to provide animals for Vedic sacrifices. The killed animals would be given new bodies by the power of the sacrifices. Since priests no longer have that power, the sacrifice would now constitute mere killing and are thus forbidden. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that the great sage Narada severely chastised King Prachini Bharishad for abusing this principle of authorized hunting. In fact, the king had become like a modern sportsman who cruelly kill animals as a so-called hobby. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate
Gopesha Gopika Kantara Akanta Namustute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Namami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vahari Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas and Radha Vallabha, Gornita, Jagannath Vallabhisvatra, Srila Prabhupada, and the predecessors from Srila Prabhupada, that I will be able to speak about Krishna and purify my heart and hopefully bring about some sort of spiritual light within everyone's heart. So, anyway. Often we see when Prabhupada would come to Western world, Australia or America or any European country, the disciples of Prabhupada would arrange many, many important people to meet Srila Prabhupada. Like, we would have reporters also coming to speak to Srila Prabhupada and interview Srila Prabhupada. And we had world leaders meeting Srila Prabhupada. Even Catholic priests would come and meet Srila Prabhupada. So, many times when Prabhupada would present Krishna consciousness, especially to the Christian world, the Christians would try to argue with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would say, "We're not trying to convert you into Christians to Krishna conscious, or in other words, Hindu. That is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is not to change the Americans and Indians, Americans into Indians or Indians into Americans. That is not our philosophy." He said, "If you're a Christian, you must follow the principles taught by Jesus Christ." Simple as that. Jesus Christ, He is a great personality, He is a guru, because He is representing God. So you must follow Him. And Prabhupada would say, "You're in the Christian world. Are you following the commandments given by Jesus Christ?" Mm-hmm. And obviously, the Christian Catholic leaders, they would say, "Yes, we are following." Then Prabhupada said, "Why is it in this Christian world that there's a big emphasis in killing animals, slaughtering cows and so forth? Jesus Christ says, 'Thou shalt not kill.'" And obviously, they would try to divert Prabhupada's attention. They would say, "Actually, it doesn't actually mean 'thou shalt not kill.' It means 'thou shalt not murder.'" Prabhupada said, "No, it's 'thou shalt not kill.'" And he would be so emphatic. He would pound on this very point. Christian world, why is it that you're breaking the first commandment of Jesus Christ, killing animals? Obviously, the most important commandment is love God with all your minds. Who can say that one?
Yeah.
What is it? What is the most important commandment of Jesus Christ? Love God with all your heart, mind and soul, isn't it? Yeah. And then second most important is love your neighbors. And Prabhupada would say, "Don't you think these animals are not your neighbors?" They're your neighbors. Obviously also the very important principle of Krishna consciousness to remain pure in Krishna consciousness is to follow one of the four regulative principles, which is no meat eating or no killing animals. If one kills animals, obviously the nature and the heart of the person who kills the animal becomes very, very contaminated, and his nature is transformed into cruelty. There's no sign of compassion. And this is nothing to do with spiritual life, really. If anyone wants to be a civilized human being, the natural tendency is that one shows compassion. One is clean. How do you abstain yourself clean? By not having any illicit relationship out of marriage. And obviously, one has to be a little bit austere to understand the finer subject matters of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is obviously destroyed when one takes alcohol or intoxication. And one has to remain truthful, and this truthfulness is destroyed by gambling. So just to remain as a civilized human being, one has to just follow this four regulated principle. There's nothing so much to spiritual life. Obviously, if one does follow, it does boost one's spiritual life so much. You can say the punch to one's spiritual life is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That is what makes one spiritual, not really following the four regulative principle. The purpose of following four regulative principle is to make us civilized human beings. That is the whole purpose. But we know that is the principles of Krishna consciousness, is that we don't kill animals, we don't eat meat, or we don't even support anything in relation to killing animals. But here we see Krishna, along with his very dear friend Arjuna, he's going out in the forest to sport. In other words, Krishna and Arjuna are going to the forest to kill animals. It seems very, very contradictory. How is it that Krishna, who is the focus in Krishna consciousness, Krishna and Arjuna, they're going to the forest and killing animals? Obviously, it doesn't make sense if one doesn't understand the true understanding, the meaning of why Krishna and Arjuna are doing this. If one sees this, then they will point out, look, you can eat animals. Krishna and Arjuna killed animals, so why can't we kill? And this is how actually the religious system or religious system can get destroyed. We know in Christianity how many Christians, they continue eating meat even though Jesus Christ says, thou shalt not kill, or love your neighbors as you love yourself. But they make an excuse for eating meat. What is their excuse for eating meat? They say, well, Jesus Christ served fish and some wine in a big public arena. So, based on this, they live a life full of sinful activity, killing innocent animals. And obviously, such religious system deteriorates. But here, we can see Krishna and Arjuna, they're not killing for their own sense gratification. Krishna and Arjuna, they're playing as a human role, although they are beyond human beings. So, as a human being, you have different occupation. That is that of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So they were playing as a Kshatriya. As Kshatriyas, they have license to go and kill animals. That is possible for the Kshatriyas. We know how during Treta Yuga, Lord Ramachandra's time, there was two brothers, that is Bali and Sugriva. They were continuously fighting. And Bali obviously banished Sugriva and took his wife and was ruling Kishkinda, which was the kingdom of the monkeys. So while Bali was ruling, he would go and do Shalagram Puja every day. He would go and do complete Shalagram Puja in Rameshwaram, and then after doing the Shalagram Puja in Rameshwaram, come back to Kishkinda. On the way to Kishkinda, Sugriva was situated in a particular spot where Bali couldn't go. If he went there, if he landed on the ground, he would be killed. He would be smashed into hundreds of bits. He was given a curse. So on his way, Bali would fly from Kishkinda, from Rameshwaram to Kishkinda. On his way, he would give a good kick on Sugriva, like this. And then he would go to Dwarka and do Shalagram Puja. And on the way back, before going to Dwarka, he would give again a kick to Sugriva and then go to Dwarka. And then come back and give a kick to Sugriva, to Kishkinda. Like this, he did this literally 8 times in a day. He would kick Sugriva really hard because he would do Shalagram Puja for 4 areas. One is in Jagannath Puri, Badrinath, and Dwarka, and so forth. So Sugriva was very, very much aggrieved. He was trying to find a solution by which Bali could be humiliated or killed, and he could get his wife back. And obviously Lord Ramachandra, he was ready to offer his help to Sugriva. So Ramachandra said, "You go and fight with Bali, and then I will fix him up." So Bali and Sugriva fought very furiously, and Bali smashed Sugriva so badly. Sugriva was so destroyed and devastated. So he went back to Ram and he said, "I can't understand. I thought you were my friend. I thought you were going to help me. But you didn't kill Bali. What is this?" Ramachandra said, "You both look the same, so I couldn't understand the difference between you and Bali. So next time you go and wear a garland, then I will know who is Bali and who is Sugriva." So again they fought very, very ferociously. And Ramachandra, what did he do? Lord Ramachandra hid behind a tree and he shot an arrow and pierced the heart of Bali. Bali immediately fell down on the ground. He didn't die. And then everyone came and started surrounding Bali. Even Lord Ramachandra came and approached Bali. And Bali said, then they had a conversation. Bali said, "Oh, Ramachandra, Lord Ram, how is it that you dare shoot an arrow hiding yourself and not even prepared to fight in front of me? How is it that you shot the arrow behind me? So Lord Ramachandra pointed out that first of all, he is a Kshatriya. As a Kshatriya, he was able to, they have privilege, they have license to go and kill animals. Why do they have license to kill animals? So that when the major war takes place, they don't lose their art of fighting. That is one very, very important reason for Kshatriyas to go and kill ferocious animals in the forest. And secondly, Lord Ramachandra said that as a Kshatriya, I'm allowed to do this. And secondly, what you did is you took Sugriva's wife. So that's why, just to reestablish the religious principles, I was able to kill you. As the Supreme Lord, I have to re-establish religious principles, so I'll be able to kill you. So, in this point, in this very episode, Bali Maharaj obviously admitted Lord Ramachandra, and then he accepted. And from this point, we can see the Kshatriyas, they kill the animals so that the animals can be taken to the sacrifice and offered in the sacrifice. And in order to make sure that the sacrifice was perfect, as Keshava Prabhu was telling 2-3 days ago, the Brahmanas would be put into a test. They would sacrifice an old horse, or else they would sacrifice an old cow in the fire. And the potency of the Brahmanas would be that just by chanting the mantra, they would be able to revive the dead animals back to life. So we see here that what Arjuna and Krishna are doing are perfectly correct. They are not doing anything bad. Obviously, in fact, it is the power of the Kshatriyas, that these great rulers, that just by killing these animals, not only they will be brought back to life, they will be given a better life in the heavenly planets. That is the potency of the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas during 5,000 years ago and beyond. Obviously, this is not recommended for this age of Kali. This practice is not recommended. Although, sacrifice is recommended, but not the animal sacrifice. This animal sacrifice is totally prohibited. It is explained there are 5 things which are prohibited in the age of Kali. One of it is no sacrificing animals. Secondly is the brothers are not allowed to intermingle with the other brother's wife to produce the children, and so forth. Obviously, Krishna seeing this, that people in the name of religion were exploiting this principle of sacrificing animals, Krishna took great sympathy. Out of this great sympathy, he came as Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha, his main principle of preaching Buddhism was not spiritual understanding, but actually compassion on these animals. This is the essential ingredient. The essential ingredient of the Supreme Lord, or the special quality of the Supreme Lord, is that He has compassion. He cares for every living entity. That is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you may question, why is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead killing these animals? Obviously, even if the Supreme Personality of Godhead kills this animal, they'll go back home back to Godhead. That is the greatest compassion of the Supreme Lord. But in this instance, we see that the Supreme Lord, seeing that people in the name of religion killing so many animals, they were killing animals and offering in the sacrifice, and they were making a habit, they were making a livelihood based on this. So the Lord came as Lord Buddha so that He could stop this nonsensical religious practice. That's why Srila Jayadev Goswami, he sings the 10 prayers of Dasavatar. One of his famous prayers is Tavakara Kamalavare Nakam Adbhuta Shingam Dalita Hiranyakashipur Tanubringam Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadish Sahare Jai Jagadish Sahare Jai Jagadish. So Jayadev Goswami offers 10 prayers to 10 incarnations of Godhead. And one of it, he offers to Lord Buddha. And at the end he goes, Keshava Drita Buddha Sarira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare. Glorifying Lord Buddha for His compassion. His compassion not only on human beings, but His compassion on animals. So, Lord Buddha, His main principle of teaching Buddhism is so that they don't kill animals. In other words, that this is not the goal of life, but it is civilized way of life. No animal killing is just a civilized way of living. It's not a spiritual life. Prabhupada would explain. Prabhupada said, the teachings of Lord Buddha is like this. Very simple. He said, when the children, the father sees the children very naughty, when the father sees the children's naughty, what does the father do? The father says, listen to me. And the father says, your punishment is you go and face the wall. Go face the wall. Don't talk. Just listen to me. Obviously, this was one of the treatment, or this is one of the punishment I had to experience in the Gurukul. When we were very naughty, our teachers would say, so forth, listen. And they would get really angry. They say, go and face the wall right now. And if we didn't do that, we had to clean 20 toilets. Or sleep for 2 hours in the Gurukul. Anyway. So, we see that this is how Prabhupada would explain Buddhism is that the children facing the wall is not the actual desire of the father. The father tells the children, or the teacher tells the children to face the wall just so that the children can behave themselves. Or then the teacher can give transcendental knowledge onto the student who listens to the teacher. Then he can make spiritual progress. So no meat eating is not the all means of spiritual life, but it's just to make us aware that we, as human beings, we have to show compassion. We should show care and love, not only to human beings, but also to the animals. And we can see in this world, as there is more meat eating, as there is more killing of animals, there's more wars. They have created so many big nations. Like before the World War II, they had League of Nations. That was hopeless, that was useless. So they have United Nations. But you can trace in history of over 60 years, how many wars were the United Nations able to stop? They were not able to stop even one war. But this whole nation is built just to make money. That's that. That's so simple. And encourage meat eating. Encourage animal slaughters. Unfortunately, in this country, Guru Krishna Rao, he was showing me the statistic. He was showing the biggest cow imports of the countries. First biggest cow import is Brazil. Second biggest is Australia. You wonder why there's so much drought. And you wonder why there's so much war in so many places. And biggest number of cows that are ready to be sent overseas. You know which country? Pardon me? I can't hear.
India.
The statistics is very, very far out. It explains that the second biggest is Brazil, which are ready to import, send more cows to be slaughtered. It is by comparison, India's 70 times more than Brazil ready for the cows to be slaughtered and sent off to other countries. And you wonder why there is war in so many countries. You wonder why that the ecosystem is going wrong. You wonder why that we are experiencing drought in Australia. It's just because of uncontrolled senses, we are ready to kill animals. This is the shameful condition of this particular age of Kali. So, but if one abstains oneself from killing animals, then one is considered a civilized human being, and then they are ready to make more spiritual progress. So this is it. This is what how Prabhupada would explain about Buddhism. Buddhism is just so that the children can be very quiet, not speak any nonsense. Then the teacher is able to impregnate the student transcendental knowledge within their heart, and then they can make spiritual progress from there. Even Buddhism nowadays is not in a very good shape. The leader itself is not very exemplary. Very, 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 very bad example. The teachings of Buddha is totally destroyed. The leader is not even following. Dalai Lama, for example, is not very good example to the society. Kurma Prabhu, he pointed out in his website how one of his disciple or one of his followers lost hope of Dalai Lama and gave him up. Because even Dalai Lama himself is eating non-vegetarian. This is against the tenet of Lord Buddha. Obviously, the purpose of Krishna consciousness is not only show compassion on human beings, but also show compassion on the animals. But even beyond that, is to show compassion on ourselves. That is the number one priority, is to show compassion on ourselves. In Upanishad, it explains Atmaha. The word Atmaha means the killer of the soul. This is the greatest ahimsa. This is the greatest violence, you can say. The greatest violence is to kill the soul. You're able to stop animal killing, that is very good. But next life, what is the guarantee that you will not kill another animal? There's no guarantee. You can gain your taste to kill the animal again. So that is not a real solution. To be a vegetarian, that's not a real solution. Even the rabbits, even the elephants are vegetarian. They're not. That is not the main objective of spiritual life. The main objective of spiritual life is to deliver the soul from samsara or repetition of cycle of birth and death. Then there is the only possibility of showing compassion onto the animals. Or else there is no real solution. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is trying to do. Prabhupada, in order to spread Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada is trying to present Krishna consciousness to everyone just so that they can save themselves from this horrible condition of repetition of cycle of birth and death and so forth. This is the real Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's compassion cannot be compared to any spiritual leaders in history. No spiritual leaders in history can be compared to Srila Prabhupada's compassion. Srila Prabhupada himself is predicted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prithivite ache nagaradigram sarvata moranam. That in every town and village that my name will be spread. And who was able to do that? Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he was able to spread the glories of the holy name of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in every town and village. This is the real solution for delivering the soul. This is the real compassion. It's not to eat carrots and cabbage. The real solution is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So this is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, and we do have so much gratitude to offer to Srila Prabhupada. And our gratitude we can show to Srila Prabhupada or we can show our charity or offer to Srila Prabhupada by being loyal to Srila Prabhupada, by following his tenets. And very basic tenets: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, and chanting the holy name of the Lord. If you do this loyally to Srila Prabhupada, your spiritual life will be perfected. Then only, and only then, can you help other living entities from the horrible lifestyle in this age of Kali. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Any points you would like to bring up? Yes, Mataji.
Means why one kills himself?
Pardon me?
In which way one kills his own soul?
In which way?
Yes.
Ah, very good. we kill ourselves when we do not actually build, or when we do not try to connect ourselves with the Supreme Soul. We do not connect ourselves with the Supreme Soul, then we actually kill ourselves. The principle of yoga or bhakti yoga itself is to connect ourselves with the Supreme. We know even the Mayavadis, they don't eat meat and they go beyond the material existence. But actually that is not a real solution to save themselves. Because they go to Brahma Jyoti, but then they fall back again. So that is not the real solution also, to only protect yourself. The real solution is to connect yourself with the Supreme Soul. Then only can we connect ourselves. The best way of connecting ourselves with the Supreme Soul is loving service towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna and His devotees. Then only can we connect ourselves. Then only can we deliver ourselves. Devotional process is the only solution to deliver ourselves. That makes sense? There is no material activity that can save the self. Oh, material activity. Well, there is gross and then there is subtle. Gross is obviously attachment to the house, attachment to opposite sex, and attachment to one's own body and so forth, and not attached to yourself. This is gross. And subtle is attached to fame, prestige, adoration, respect, lust, anger, greed, so forth. Yeah, I mean, if you follow this four regulative principle, you're also still considered a killer of the soul. Because this only brings you to the stage of human civilization, but this will not bring you to the stage of spiritual civilization. It can make you only a good human being. And next life, when you take birth again, where is the guarantee that you will not kill animals? Where is the guarantee that you will not take intoxication? By some inauspicious association, you can take up these qualities again. So the real solution is the bhakti process, the principles of Krishna consciousness. The principles, four regulated principles, is the support pillar of the one's spiritual life. That you should see. But you should not see it as the spiritual life. It's the support of spiritual life, but it's not spiritual as such. It's just to make you civilized human being. Then, by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then those four regulative principles is spiritualized. If you do not chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if you follow those four regulative principles, then it's not spiritual life. But if you chant the holy name of the Lord, if you practice the bhakti yoga process, then only those four regulative principles become spiritualized. Because when you eat the vegetarian food, you offer it to Krishna and you drink, eat that. So, and on the other hand, we see rabbits and elephants, they are also vegetarian, but they are not devotees. And suppose intoxication, in one sense, you offer mango juice or you offer wonderful juice, beverages to Krishna, you drink it. That becomes spiritualized. And so far with the money you offer to Krishna, it becomes spiritualized. I hope it made sense to you. Your four regulative principles become spiritual only when you have Hare Krishna Mahamantra as the goal of life. Or else the four regulative principle is also considered pious living, pious way of living. Yes, Prabhuji, one more question.
In the nectar of instruction also, Prabhupada writes in the six aspects of which destroy devotional life.
Yes.
Rajalpo Niyamakrana. So in Niyamakrana, he basically, Prabhupada writes that, you know, following the regulative principle, yes, simply for the sake of following.
Yes.
Leading to Rati.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Actually, it says that if we do that, then we actually destroy our devotional life. If we just follow for the sake of
it. True. Blind following. Yeah. Very good. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.